Welcome back, everybody, for another deep dive. This time, we're going to be looking at something that's pretty complex, pretty fascinating.
Yeah.
And that is the world of pharmaceuticals and intellectual property rights.
Oh.
And specifically, a Supreme Court case.
Okay.
Amgen versus Sanofi.
Right.
And this case really could have a big impact on how new drugs are developed.
It really could. You know, it's so interesting to me about this case is that it really is right at the intersection of this really cutting edge science and this kind of age old, you know, body of law that we have around patents. And, you know, it really boils down to this idea of enablement. And, you know, I think it's easy to kind of get lost in the weeds of patent law.
For sure.
But enablement basically just means, can the inventor explain how to make and use the invention?
So it's not enough to just have a great idea for a drug.
Right.
You have to be able to show someone else how to make that drug.
Exactly. You have to be able to teach someone how to do it. And in this case, we're not talking about some, you know, simple gadget or a new kind of, you know, kitchen appliance. We're talking about engineered antibodies.
Right.
These incredibly complex molecules that are designed to treat diseases.
Okay, so let's back up for a second here.
Sure.
For those of us who maybe didn't pay quite as much attention in biology class.
Yeah.
What are antibodies and why are they so important in medicine?
So you can think of antibodies like your body's own specialized defense force.
Okay.
They're these tiny little proteins that can latch on to very specific targets, and we call those targets antigens and basically neutralize them. What's really amazing about antibodies is the sheer diversity of them. Your body can potentially create millions, even billions of unique antibodies.
Wow.
Each one is designed to target a specific threat.
So it's like having a, you know, a personalized army ready to fight off any invader.
That's a great analogy.
Okay.
Yeah. And what's really cool is that scientists have now figured out how to kind of harness this power.
Harness the power of antibodies.
Yeah. They can engineer antibodies to treat a whole wide range of diseases. You know, everything from cancer to autoimmune disorders.
Yeah. And I've heard about this new type of cholesterol drug that uses antibodies. Is that what this case is about?
Yeah. You're probably thinking about something called PCSK9 inhibitors.
PCSK9?
Yeah, it's kind of a mouthful.
Yeah.
But PCSK9 is a protein that actually makes it harder for your body to clear bad cholesterol from your blood.
Oh.
So these drugs use antibodies to block PCSK9, and that allows your body to better regulate cholesterol levels.
So Amgen and Sanofi, they both developed PCSK9 inhibitors.
They did.
Using different antibodies. And that's where this patent dispute comes in.
Exactly. Each company secured patents for their specific antibodies, which is, you know, totally standard practice.
Right.
But Amgen kind of went a step further.
Okay.
And they tried to get broader patents that covered a whole genus of antibodies that could block PCSK9.
So they were trying to claim ownership, not just over the specific antibodies they created, but like an entire category.
Right. An entire class of antibodies.
That seems pretty broad.
Yeah, it is. It's a bold move.
Yeah.
And this is where the idea of enablement becomes really important.
Okay.
Sanofi argued that Amgen hadn't actually explained how to make all of the antibodies that they were claiming in their patent.
So it's like saying, you know, I own all the recipes for chocolate chip cookies.
Right.
But I'm only going to give you one recipe.
Yeah, that's a great analogy.
Okay.
Amgen did provide information about 26 specific antibodies, and they suggested two ways to make more.
Okay.
One was what they called a roadmap, which was essentially, you know, their trial and error process that they used during their research.
Yep.
And the other involved making small tweaks to existing antibodies, kind of like little substitutions here and there.
Okay.
And then seeing what happened.
But it still sounds like even with those methods, there's still a lot of guesswork involved.
Yeah.
It's not like they're giving you a, you know, step-by-step foolproof recipe book for making any PCSK9 blocking antibody.
Exactly. And that was really Sanofi's main argument. They said Amgen's methods were essentially like research assignments.
Research assignments.
Yes. Not a clear guide to actually creating all of the antibodies that they claim to own.
So more like giving someone a bag of flour and some chocolate chips and saying, good luck, figure out the rest.
Right. Exactly.
So what did the courts have to say about all of this?
Well, both the district court and the federal circuit agreed with Sanofi. They found that Amgen's patents didn't meet that enablement requirement.
Yeah.
They said you haven't sufficiently explained how to make all these antibodies that you're claiming.
But Amgen appealed that, right?
They did. They took it all the way to the Supreme Court.
To the Supreme Court. Wow.
Yeah.
And what did Amgen argue before the Supreme Court?
Well, they argued that they had sufficiently enabled the invention, even if it took some experimentation for others to create the full scope of antibodies.
Okay.
They said, you know, any skilled scientist could figure it out with a little bit of effort.
So they're saying, sure, it's not a perfect recipe book.
Right.
But any competent baker could use it to create a variety of delicious cookies.
Exactly. And that's kind of what makes this case so interesting, because it really raises this question of how much leeway should inventors have when they're claiming these really broad patents, particularly when we're talking about complex technologies like antibodies.
Right. And so the Supreme Court had to decide.
It did.
Do you need that perfect step-by-step recipe book?
Right.
Or is a rough outline good enough?
Yeah, is a rough roadmap sufficient?
And what's really interesting is to understand how they reached their decision. They actually looked back at some landmark patent cases from the past.
Yeah, they did. They went all the way back
to
the 1800s.
Okay, so the Supreme Court went old school to decide a very modern case.
They did.
So what were some of these cases that they looked back at?
Well, one that really stood out was Samuel Morse's patent for the telegraph.
The telegraph.
Yeah, back in the 1800s.
Oh, wow.
You know, Morse, he tried to claim ownership over all forms of electrical communication, not just his specific telegraph system.
So he was really trying to go broad.
He was trying to corner the market on electrical communication.
Wow.
But the court ultimately said, no, you can't do that. Your claim is way too broad.
Yeah.
You haven't enabled all the ways that electrical communication could be achieved.
So it's kind of like trying to patent using the internet.
Right.
Instead of patenting a specific website or a specific piece of software.
Exactly.
It's just too vast of a claim.
It is. And that same principle applied in Amgen's case.
Okay.
The Supreme Court basically found that just providing a roadmap and some general guidelines for tweaking antibodies,
right,
that didn't actually constitute enablement for the full scope of their patent claim.
All right.
They really emphasized that inventors need to clearly explain their inventions,
okay,
so that others can actually build upon them, especially when you're dealing with claims as broad as the ones that Amgen was making.
So they ruled in favor of Sanofi.
They did.
Yeah.
The Supreme Court ultimately sided with Sanofi and upheld the lower court's decisions.
Wow. That's a big decision.
It is.
What kind of impact do you think this is going to have on, you know, drug development moving forward?
Well, I mean, I think it's definitely a landmark case. It could really have a Whipple effect.
Yeah.
On how patents for scientific discoveries, you know, especially in fields like biotechnology,
right,
how those patents are granted and enforced.
Is it going to make it harder for companies to get patents for these really complex inventions?
Potentially. I mean, the ruling might encourage companies to focus on narrower to more specific patent claims rather than trying to, you know, lock down entire categories of molecules.
And that could be a good thing, right?
Yeah, I mean, potentially. If companies can't get these incredibly broad patents, it could lead to more companies developing their own versions of similar drugs.
Okay.
And that could increase competition,
right,
which hopefully could lead to lower costs for patients.
But couldn't there also be some downsides to that?
Sure.
What if, you know, companies are hesitant to invest in research if they're not sure if they can adequately protect their inventions?
Yeah. That's a valid concern. I mean, developing new drugs is incredibly expensive and time-consuming.
For sure.
And companies need to be able to recoup their investments and make a profit.
Right.
So there's definitely a balance there.
It's this tension between encouraging innovation.
Right.
But also making sure that people can afford the drugs that result from that innovation.
Exactly. And I think this case really highlights that fundamental tension in patent law. You know, finding that sweet spot where innovation is rewarded,
right,
but also accessible.
Right.
That's a tough job for policymakers and for the courts.
It makes you wonder what the long-term consequences of this ruling are really going to be.
Yeah.
Is it going to lead to more innovation or less innovation?
Right.
Are drug prices going to go up or down?
Yeah. Are we going to see more investment in certain areas or less investment?
Right.
I think those are all really important questions. And honestly, only time will tell what the true impact of this decision will be.
Yeah, it really makes you think about, you know, both sides of this.
Yeah.
Like, you have these companies like Amgen that are investing billions of dollars into research.
Yeah.
And they need to make sure that, you know, that investment pays off.
Right.
But then on the other hand, you have patients who need to be able to afford these life-saving treatments.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It really is a complex issue.
Yeah.
And I think this case really shows that it's not as simple as just saying one side is right and the other side is wrong. It's really about finding that right balance between, you know, encouraging innovation, but also making sure that these new drugs are accessible.
That's the sweet spot, isn't it?
It is, and it's a challenge for policymakers and for the courts.
This whole case has really given me a lot to think about.
Yeah.
You know, we started talking about antibodies, and now we're having these big philosophical conversations about, you know, innovation and access to medicine.
Yeah, it's really fascinating to see how these different areas all kind of connect, science and law and economics. Yeah. They all come together to really shape our world.
So for our listeners out there who are now totally fascinated by this world of patents and science, where should they go to learn more?
Well, I think this case, Amgen versus Sanofi, is a great place to start.
Okay.
You know, the Supreme Court's opinion is publicly available.
Okay.
And there are tons of articles out there, you know, breaking down the legal arguments and the implications of the ruling.
And if you want to dive even deeper.
Yeah. If you really want to go down the rabbit hole, I would recommend looking into some of these other patent disputes that involve really groundbreaking scientific advancements.
So things like gene editing.
Yeah, gene editing, personalized medicine, even artificial intelligence.
Yeah.
I mean, these same questions about incentivizing innovation while also protecting the public interest.
Right.
They come up over and over again.
It seems like we're really entering this new era.
Well, we are.
Of scientific discovery.
Yeah.
But we're still kind of figuring out the rules of the game.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
And I think as science and technology continue to push those boundaries, it's going to be really important for all of us to have these discussions.
Yeah.
You know, innovators, policymakers, the public, we all need to work together to make sure that intellectual property rights are really serving their purpose.
I think that's a great place to leave it.
Yeah.
So a huge thank you to all of our listeners.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us.
For joining us on this exploration of Amgen versus Sanofi.
Yeah.
Hopefully you've learned something new.
Absolutely.
About the relationship between science and law and, you know, the future of progress.
The future is now.
Until next time, keep those brains engaged and keep diving deep.
Keep on diving.